Hey, Bucks fans, hike it into Hooters for all the games this season. Our wings always win. World famous for 40 years, with 13 sauces and rubs to choose from. Or try our buffalo chicken dip. And for a limited time, the pepper jack onion ring burger. Wash them down with a Big Daddy mug of Bud, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. Or sip on a Jolly Roger cocktail. A Bucks favorite, made with Absolut. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will give away signed Bucks memorabilia. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. OriginalHooters.com for details. Drink responsibly.
Another championship week edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Visit OriginalHooters.com for the location nearest you in the greater Tampa Bay area. Hooters has been celebrating 40 years on the 4th of each month throughout 2023 with throwback events, including 83-cent wings and other great specials. Remember, speaking of specials, they have $6 drinks all day, every day. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Email for your fantasy questions this championship week, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Again, I wrapped up all three of the leagues that I commissioned last week, both podcast leagues. You can, if you missed that podcast for any reason, you can go back one episode and hear what happened in the podcast league and the second podcast league, which we affectionately call the League of Champions. I actually now have enough podcast league champions to have a League of Champions next year with exclusively champions. That's a working concept already as I look ahead to 2024. And we'll see how that goes. Sean Sullivan from Bill Curry Ford was a winner. Chris Martin, loyal podcast listener, was also a winner. I did finally win my personal league that I talk about here on the podcast, the Foundation, for the first time in the 9-year history of the Foundation, essentially winning both the semifinal and the final the last 2 weeks by comfortably by double-digit points on the strength of Matthew Stafford's play late in the season. I did draft Joe Burrow as the fourth quarterback off the board in this particular league. I didn't want to do that, but once Allen, Mahomes, and Hurts were all off the board, and I had two other players that I wanted, I decided to go ahead and make the move with Burrow, who was the fourth best fantasy quarterback based on 2022 numbers. The year didn't start well with an injury. He went down midseason with an injury, so I was forced to go to the waiver wire, and after a few different quarterbacks settling, I was able to look ahead, had the first round bye, saw what was going on with Matthew Stafford and the Rams, and thought that might be a way to go, so I just claimed him and then played him week 15 and week 16. It worked out very well for me. Jordan Love was another option at the time. Love had put up some big numbers on Thanksgiving, but the Packers hit their little losing streak going towards the fantasy playoffs, so I didn't feel comfortable with Love. So Stafford was my quarterback. The rest of my guys from that draft, I drafted Christian McCaffrey, that we got a lot of podcast value out of. I had the first overall pick. By now you know the story. Every other owner in this 10-team league in the Foundation had the opportunity to take the first pick. They all chose not to. They left me with the first pick, and I selected Christian McCaffrey, which threw off another owner that purposely chose the second pick, thinking he'd get McCaffrey there. Ironically, my opponent in the final. So I took McCaffrey number one. It was a winning move. I saw somewhere on social media that owners with Christian McCaffrey, or 57% of owners in the fantasy championship or playoffs, I think it was championship, had Christian McCaffrey on their roster. So that was the winning move. Look, Justin Jefferson got hurt. Talk about that being unpredictable. You talked about that, how there was more of a history of McCaffrey being injured. Facts are facts. McCaffrey over Jefferson was the way to go. And this was a year where the running backs pushed back. There was more value and in the point production of running backs than there was in wide receivers or quarterbacks. this year. I picked up Kyren Williams on waivers in week three. He gave me some big games, then he went down hurt. We do not have IR. I cut him, but I purposely, 2 weeks in advance of him likely being active, I picked him up again, hoping he'd have the same workload and high production. So I was fortunate that in my fantasy playoffs, I essentially had the number one and number two overall running backs on my roster and in my starting lineup, which made it impossible to play Jahmyr Gibbs, who I drafted. And honestly, I didn't play Gibbs that much this year because, yeah, I played him in weeks where Kyren was down, but I had some other options there like Deontay Foreman, who gave me, I know, at least one enormous week for a win in head-to-head play. I probably played Gibbs, I don't know, 5 weeks. I really wanted to play him in the championship, but I couldn't justify, I'm not going to sit McCaffrey, and I couldn't justify sitting Williams, who was projected by most as RB, the second best running back in week 16. In the end, Gibbs beat Williams by a few points, but they both put up 100 yards of tandem offense. They both touched the ball minimum of 19 times. Gibbs got in the end zone twice. Williams got in the end zone once. So, yeah, I was really set at running back. My biggest decision that I made last minute, and I tried to avoid this year, making too many last-minute moves that had cost me fantasy championships in the past in various leagues. But I did decide last minute to play T. Higgins against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Saturday. And while he only touched the ball 5 times, which was once more than he touched the ball the previous week, he again had big plays. He had 2 touchdowns in the week 15 where I didn't use him. And he had the 80-yard catch and run early in the third quarter against the Steelers. The Steelers were very shorthanded at the safety position and not very good at the corner spot anyway. And with no Jamar Chase, it was clear that Jake Browning was going to look to Higgins for big plays again. So I went ahead, pulled the trigger, and that catch and run touchdown for 80 yards was worth 14 points on its own. In the end, Higgins was my biggest performer with 20 points in my scoring 21st century standardized scoring settings for the week. Gibbs, ironically, 20 sitting on my bench. I won my fantasy championship before the Monday games were ever played. So I gave McCaffrey and Ayuk the night off. I was considering sitting Ayuk for Isaiah Likely in that game. It never got there. I probably would have just rolled with Ayuk, who even in a losing effort, 6 for 113, highest average per catch in the NFL. With Ayuk. So that's one of those, like when you think about that this week with the Niner game and you look at Ayuk and his touch count and it doesn't excite you because the ceiling is around 6 per game the last month and a half, but the yards per touch is the best in the NFL for a wide receiver per catch. And if you even go back to week 15, there were 2 near misses of about 35 to 40 yards down the field between Purdy and Ayuk, and it's obviously a bounce-back game for Purdy. So literally the combination of Stafford, Amon-Ra, who's done it all year, T. Higgins and Kyren Williams. I didn't even need Brandon Aubrey and his 8 points against the Dolphins on Christmas Eve afternoon. My opponent had a very rough game. But I was able to basically take a knee on Christmas morning, give McCaffrey and Ayuk or Likely the night off, and just say, we're done here, and not run up the score on my opponent. And my name is going on the Jimmy McGinty Trophy for the first time in Foundation history. So that's how I ended up winning the Foundation. Just the one setback that went against me was the Burrow pick and the injury that that I dealt with as I probably played, I don't know. I know I played four different quarterbacks in the foundation. It might have been five that I played, because I might have had to. I know I played a different quarterback one of the first two or three weeks that I can't even remember at this point. So, all right, let's fast forward to you guys playing championship football. Congratulations on doing that for week 17. Let me just go to Yahoo settings and their projections for all players week 17. And we'll go, because this has been a bounce back year for running backs, let's go to the running back position. And there are my two that led me to victory on my roster projected this week at 1 and 2, McCaffrey by a large margin in a smash spot at Washington against the Commanders, although the Commanders will be starting Brissett. Kyren Williams is 2 at the Giants. I'll say this, and this doesn't really matter, because if you have McCaffrey, you're playing him. If you have Williams, you're playing him. I take some prop action that Williams may outpoint McCaffrey this week. Yahoo disagrees by a pretty good margin, on the theory that the Niners may be up comfortably enough in the second half where they don't use McCaffrey. I think the Rams will continue to use Williams. Now, a week removed, they didn't use Williams up 2 to 3 scores every series, every possession in the second half against the Saints. But I think Williams might have a higher snap count in the Giants game than McCaffrey against the Commanders. RB3 is also in the Rams-Giants game. It's Barkley, although check injury status there. Tyrod Taylor getting the start, which is probably a good thing for Barkley production. Jonathan Taylor goes as RB4, according to Yahoo, against the Raiders. Josh Jacobs, who didn't play Week 16, check injury status, at RB5 at the Colts. That seems a little high. Isaiah Pacheco off, having his helmet come off twice and getting kicked in the head. RB6 for the struggling Chiefs at home against the Bengals. I'd be a little leery of that, just with what's going on with the Chiefs right now, with just set it and forget it with Isaiah Pacheco as an RB1. Rashad White, oh yeah, he's in your lineup. Yahoo has him 7, Kamara at 8. Then Mostert at 9, just a touchdown machine. I kind of like the Dolphins this week at Baltimore. Yeah. Ravens do play good defense, but what the Dolphins do offensively is very, very unique and could cause some issues for the Ravens defense. So I wouldn't hesitate to play your Dolphins in this game, especially Mostert. Kenneth Walker, it's been better in recent weeks against the Steelers. Yeah. He's next, according to Yahoo. Then Zeke. Ramondre goes on IR. Zeke at Buffalo. That seems high, though, that Ezekiel Elliott, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, is RB11 for championship week ahead of David Montgomery. I know Montgomery's volume has been down. Well, actually, I mean, he touched the ball 19 times in the win against the Vikings, even though Gibbs is getting more of the red zone touches than he used to. But Montgomery got in the end zone. You know, I just look at Montgomery's volume since he returned from injury in week 9, and there's no reason I wouldn't play him. I'm looking at week 10, week 11, week 12, week 13. Montgomery should be higher on this chart then I think Yahoo gives him credit for. Bijan Robinson, good luck with that. He's listed next in a game at Chicago. Falcons look better with Heinicke at quarterback, which isn't saying much. I love the Bears in that game to win that particular game over the Falcons. But if Heinicke is limited, who knows what that could mean for Robinson, because Arthur Smith is just such a stinking genius. James Conner next at Philly, sure. Then Jahmyr Gibbs, that seems low at the Cowboys. Check status on, as it relates to the Cowboys this week, two key guys. Tyron Smith, left tackle on offense. Jonathan Hankins, defensive tackle on the other side of the ball. For fantasy purposes, their status is significant and could affect. Look, I think as it relates to Lions, it's not like playing the Cowboys defense. You know, don't overthink this. You're playing Amon-Ra. You're probably playing Goff. You're playing Gibbs. You're playing Montgomery, whether Hankins plays or not. But Hankins is a huge reason why the Cowboys haven't won in 2 weeks. And if he doesn't play on Saturday, he might be a reason the Cowboys lose three in a row. Tyron Smith impacts Pollard's production as a pure running back and the time that Dak Prescott has to throw downfield, which is the design of the Cowboys' offense. James Cook is next, going up against the Patriot defense, which has been pretty good the last month or so. Then DeAndre Swift, DeAndre Swift's going to have an enormous volume in that game against Arizona. How many times did he touch it against the Giants? Did he touch it 25 times? 20. And a touchdown. It'll be similar. He's got to be in your lineup. Austin Eckler at Denver. Eckler touched the ball 18 times in the loss to the Bills. As all the Chargers are playing for their job, I could see it, I don't know, at least 12 touches. You'd rather have the ball in his hand probably than Easton Stick as the Chargers play out the string. Then who's next? Joe Mixon. Sure, against the Chiefs. Yeah, you got to do that. I don't know why I skipped him. He was in front of DeAndre Swift and Eckler. Achan, check status. Check Mostert status as far as Achan is concerned. What he did early in the season with those 300-plus yard games and those five touchdowns was not sustainable since coming back. He's only gotten in the end zone twice. His touch counts have been more modest. High single digits or around, let's see here. Not great, Achan. It's not what you want. I don't think he's a very strong start. I get that his ceiling is enormous, but as long as Mostert goes, Achan's opportunities are limited. Javonte Williams for Denver, now that they are essentially dumping Russell Wilson against the Chargers, I guess Williams is going to touch the ball a lot because you don't want Stidham throwing it. It's not like Williams is overly productive, but I could make a case for him being in your fantasy championship lineup. Chuba Hubbard's volume continues to be high. Check status on him, though very high volume for Chuba Hubbard. If he goes, you got to play him, especially considering Carolina has more wins the last month than the Jaguars. ETN, yeah, you got to go with him, even though game flow has really hurt him in the Jaguars' losing streak. I can only wonder if he's playing hurt, because his production is down so much. It hasn't been there. The yardage hasn't been there. He hasn't had more than 100 yards of tandem offense since the bye. So since week 8. It's a major drop-off for ETN. Then Aaron Jones, who, again, check status. He's battling some injuries, but 22 touches for 135 yards against Carolina last week. So they're your top 25 running backs for week 17. Let me quickly do wide receiver tight end flex for you. Justin Jefferson won. I think that's generous for Jefferson, who, you know, since coming back from injury, yeah, he's off 6 for 141 and 1 last week, 7 for 84 the week before, but still, Is he going to finish championship week as wide receiver one? I say no. But I get if you picked him over Christian McCaffrey and you're in championship week, you want to get something out of him, and you can likely do that this week against the Packers. Although, who the hell's quarterback in the Vikings? That doesn't help Jefferson at all. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver two. Then A.J. Brown, three. How long's it been since A.J. Brown got in the end zone? It's been a month. You can't sit him, but I know people that have lost in their fantasy playoffs because they just didn't get enough from him. Last four games for A.J. Brown, 8 for 114, 9 for 94, 5 for 56, 6 for 80. It's good. It's not like he's not involved, but he has one touchdown in his last six games. One. Against Arizona, it just feels like they're gonna get him in the end zone. And then they can probably secure their playoff position and rest him week 18. Tyreek Hill, four, check status there. You're not sitting him. Kelsey, wide receiver, tight end, flex, five. You keep thinking the Chiefs got to bounce back, but, I mean, they looked awful at times against the Raiders. Debo at six, Olave at seven. Injured 2 weeks ago, came back 9 for 123 against the Rams. His last three full games, because I think he got injured in the Carolina game and left early and then didn't play the Giants game. So his last three full games, he's over 100 yards. And even in the two before the bye, he scored touchdowns. So yeah, Olave's kind of a must start in a must-have game for the Saints. If the Saints lose it, the Bucs win the division. Amon-Ra keeps rolling along. Sure, he's in your lineup. Cooper Kupp in your lineup against the Giants. Davante Adams in a weird situation. Only one catch in the win against the Chiefs after an 8 for 101-1 against the Chargers as the Raiders played keep away against the Chiefs. Don't sense they can do that against the Colts. And there's no Snead out there to defend Adams as Snead does so well. Mike Evans, who is two touchdowns and a two-point conversion away from being the Bucs' all-time leading scorer. The significance of that is more than you think. Of the 32 teams in the NFL, only two teams have an all-time leading scorer who is not a kicker. The Niners, Jerry Rice, and the Cowboys, Emmitt Smith. Mike Evans is two touchdowns and a two-point conversion away from being the Bucs' all-time leading scorer. And the Bucs are on the road in Week 18. They're going to want to get him that at home. Mike Evans could be in line for an enormous game. Maybe wide receiver one for the week. And he's had some very big weeks this year. So just keep that in mind with Mike Evans. Jamar Chase, check status. DJ Moore against Atlanta. I guess you're playing DJ Moore. Only three. He only has a total of seven touches the last 2 weeks. And the Falcons have talented people on defense, most notably Jesse Bates. Brandon Ayuk, already talked about him. Michael Pittman, check status, limited participant in practice early in the week after he was out and then left a game early. Cortland Sutton, good luck with Jared Stidham. I don't know if you can play Cortland Sutton this week. Devontae Smith, yeah, you're playing him against Arizona, and he's been in the end zone more recently than A.J. Brown. Stephon Diggs has not been producing for weeks. One touchdown since week 9. So starting with week 10, Diggs has gotten in the end zone one time and he's never cleared more than 74 yards. Yeah. And who do the Bills have this week? New England. If you're going to play him, you're not expecting much. I mean, Cook's probably the better play. And Josh Allen is putting up points, but Diggs has had a rough second half. Nakua, you're playing. Nico Collins, if he gets C.J. Stroud back, you're playing him. Texans are playing for a division title. Jalen Waddle, check status. If he's in the lineup, you can go with him. Cooper's got a knee injury off his huge week, but I know what you're thinking. That if you didn't play Cooper last week, you were one of those 1-4 Yahoo leagues that didn't play Amari Cooper. You're like, well, there's no way I understand. It's a Thursday night game. By the time you've heard this, the game's already been played anyway. And then Rashee Rice, I don't know if you can go there. I mean, he did have 6 catches in that awful week. Last few weeks. Yeah, maybe you are playing Rashee Rice despite the Chiefs' issues. DK Metcalf against the Steelers, yeah. Same reason why I played T. Higgins last week. Keenan Allen, check status. If he's healthy, he hadn't played in a couple of weeks. There's kind of no reason to play Keenan Allen for the Chargers at this point. So there are running backs and wide receiver tight end flexes. Any other questions on, say, quarterbacks or anything else, email me, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Maybe I can give you a second opinion that helps you win a fantasy championship this week. We'll do another one next week to wrap up the year. Thank you very much for listening as we come to a near conclusion on 8 seasons of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. I thank you so much for your support, and I wish you well in your championship week this week. We will... We'll talk to you next week, see how it goes.